going to begin with a couple of readings. The first is a biblical text, and the second is a quote from one of our former, we'll get to that. Let's start with the text. We're going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Hear now these words. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But he didn't answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. We're going to look a little more deeply at what's really going on there, but maybe add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. And then our next reading is actually just a quote from Robert F. Kennedy. Kennedy, I have changed it up to more gender-inclusive language. But he said this: "Few will have the greatness to bend history itself, but each of us can work to change a small portion of events. It is from numberless diverse acts of courage and belief that human history is shaped. Each time a person stands up for an ideal, or acts to improve the lot of others, or strikes out against injustice, they send forth a tiny ripple of hope, and crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring those ripples, build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance."
Thank you.
This morning was titled, Nevertheless, She Persisted, The Just Love Syndrome. So this Bible story is actually one of my favorites. Now, admittedly, I have a lot of favorites, but still, this is one of those favorites. It is a much more complicated story than our simple reading of it suggests. After a lot of study and consideration, I believe that the author of Matthew has hidden a meaning away inside of this for us to discover. So, I think it will be helpful if we retell the story and sort of get inside and understand its complexities. And in doing so, I believe we will not only derive Matthew's intended message, but we will also receive a very clear directive for our lives today, a directive that I believe becomes ever more essential as parts of our government remove or limit rights to sections of our society, and in this case, particularly to women. Now, one of my biggest frustrations with the Bible is rooted in the culture in which it was cultivated. See, women who were mostly second-class citizens at best and property at worst frequently go unnamed in the Bible. So, for the purposes of this talk, we will give the Canaanite woman that we read about a name. Extra-canonical tradition, or the writings that was used by the early church but wasn't put into the Bible when it was put together in 367, extra-canonical tradition names her Justa, meaning justice or just. So, in our story today, we're going to refer to her as Justa. And in the story, Justa is a Canaanite. She is among the people who must stay two arms' lengths from a Jewish man at all times, a woman whose home was considered unclean and therefore off limits to Jews. And this hatred between the Jews and the Canaanites even led to the contemptuous but common slang of dog to refer to Gentiles. In short, Justa was an outsider. She lived on the outskirts of town, on the border between Jewish and Gentile lands. But she was on the border in so many other ways. She was a woman. She was considered property. She was a Canaanite. She was the enemy. She was from a rural people. She was an outsider. She was a Gentile. She was unclean and a non-believer. She may have been thought of even as demonic. After all, her daughter was believed to be possessed by a demon. In almost every way, she was seen as less than, undeserving, an outsider, a person living on the borders of life. Enter Jesus and the disciples. And in an effort to escape a recent run-in with the Pharisees, they head out to a borderline. They land. They will probably seeking out a little R&R, a little peace and quiet. But when they get there, they find neither peace nor quiet. A woman starts shouting, more specifically, she kept following them and shouting. As the story is told, at first Jesus just simply tries to ignore her. I suspect we've all tried that tactic once in a while. Basically, maybe if I just ignore them, they'll go away. But she doesn't. She persists. She begins to get on the disciples' last nerves. And they plead with Jesus, just give her what she wants so that she'll leave us alone. And Jesus' reply seems curious. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Basically, with her standing there, pleading, he says to her, I'm not here to help her kind. Any one of us would have felt defeat. Any one of us would have tucked tail and ran. Nevertheless, she persisted. Jesus, his words probably seem cruel to us with good reason, but when you place them within a larger biblical context, or even just within good storytelling, Jesus' resistance to helping her is sort of rooted in this messianic identity. Basically, the way he probably understood it would have been that in sticking to his call, that he will ultimately not only be able to help Israel, but afterwards, doing so, he'll be able to also help the rest of the world as well. And I'm not saying that makes what he said any better, as much as that it was probably his mindset in the moment and helps us understand where it came from. Jesus just is an outsider living on so many borders. She is rebuked by the disciples. Jesus ignores her, and after being badgered, finally says, I'm not here to help you. Justice should have just thrown in the towel. Nevertheless, she persisted. She responds to Jesus' words by kneeling before him, asking for mercy. She believes to the very toes of her supposedly unclean feet that Jesus can heal her daughter. She persists. Well, in the face of such a great example, Jesus had to respond kindly, right? Well, no. He doesn't. He actually says, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Throw it to the dogs. Justa, on her hands and knees in the dirt, has just been called a dog. She should just pick herself up and her pride and go home. Nevertheless, she persisted. Then Justa uses Jesus' own words to remind him of something about that messianic identity that I just mentioned. She says, even the dogs eat crumbs from the master's table. In those few words, Justa gives a sermon. She reminds Jesus that, yes, he is here for the children of Israel that sit at the table, but that after that they eat. But after they eat, so will the rest of the world. Her persistence is a mark of her faith in the fact that he can help her. Well, at that point, what else was he to do? He says, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And as the story is told, her daughter was healed instantly. So what does this story mean to us today? I think that there are two very clear directives that we can take with us from it. One of those for which we can take is that for those of us who find ourselves on the borders, marginalized, and one of those is for those of us who don't count ourselves amongst that marginalized group. That is, One of them is for those of us who sometimes marginalize people from our places of privilege. In Justa, we learn about the importance of persistence from those who are marginalized. I'll say it again. We learn about the importance of persistence from those who are marginalized. You may ask, what does that look like lived out in life? It looks like Elm Street here in Greensboro on February 1, 1960. Four freshmen from North Carolina A&T University defied the segregationist policies of prevalent in the southern United States by boldly asking to be served at a whites-only lunch counter at the Woolworths department store. In the face of controversy, some would say they should have just gone home. Nevertheless, they persisted. Their courage and courageous act launched a sit-in movement that was a major component of the civil rights movement. They persisted. They demanded to be recognized as equal. They had been marginalized and pushed out to the borders of society, and in the face of challenges and controversy, they stood firm in their faith. They persisted. The life of Dr. King is also a shining example of this. This Justa syndrome, the persistence from those who are pushed to the borders of society. Dr. King described what I'm calling the Justa syndrome this way. He said, "The ultimate measure of a person is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand at times of challenge and controversy." And then Dr. King's words that I just read also brings us to our second lesson from the story, a lesson for those of us that are not marginalized, but maybe more privileged. So hear that again, but from that perspective, the ultimate measure of a man is not where they stand in moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of challenge and controversy. We learn the importance for those who live in privileged places to reach out to those marginalized, to listen to them, and to stand with them and for them as they proclaim their rights and their value and their equality. Dorothea Dix is an example of what our second life lesson in this story looks like. She was gifted from an early age, at the age of 15. At age of 15, she started her own private school. And it is fair to say that while she was a good person with a great heart, Dorothea came from a place of privilege. One day later in her life, a ministerial student came seeking advice about teaching a woman's Sunday school class. And she listened to the woman's concerns and wishes, and then she volunteered herself to teach the class. Catch was, it was at a prison. And in 1841, well, that just wasn't considered proper for a lady of privilege and place to be seen in a prison. She should have just given up on it and stayed home. Nevertheless, she persisted. When she saw the conditions of the mentally ill inmates, she was horrified. In order to help them claim back their humanity, she took on the state of Massachusetts, then other states, then the U.S. Congress. She then traveled to England, Scotland, France, Australia, Italy, Greece, Turkey, Russia, Sweden, Denmark, Holland, Belgium, and Germany, changing the way that the world saw and treated the mentally ill. She was challenged at every corner and should have given up. Nevertheless, she persisted. Why? In her own words, quote, "In a world where there is so much to be done, I felt strongly impressed that there must be something for me to do." The Justa syndrome tells us that oppressed groups must be persistent in seeking liberation from subjugation. And in harmony with that, Jesus' response to the story indicates that reaching out to those that have been marginalized is an essential part of living a spiritually honest life, and that we should never perceive those we consider as outsiders as somehow more distant or less deserving of love and grace. When we can step out into the margins and claim love, value, and equality for all, then, and only then, can we say that like Jesus in this story, we have learned the power of persistence for justice.
Was written by Joe Hill in 1911. He was an organizer in unions. He was executed like 3 years after that because they charged him with a murder. And it's still looking into. It's like, you know how it is, but he was, revered as a union organizer at the time. And so this song that he wrote was part of a whole album, actually, but this was considered incredibly popular in 1911. And it's to the tune of The Sweet By and By, which you may have heard of. It's called The Creature and the Slave. Love their creatures in the mill every night. Try to tell you what's wrong and what's right. But when asked about something to eat, they'll answer with voices so sweet. Give them a leaf, by and by. Give them glorious lift of the sky. Live on air, you'll get by in the sky when you die. And the starvation army they play, and they sing and they cry and they pray, till they get all your coin on the drum. Then they tell you when you're on the phone. Jesus, they
So many barriers as individuals and as society. We shut others out and render ourselves irrelevant by how we react to the words of our neighbors. May we find the energy and the will to tear down the walls that divide us from one another and therefore ultimately from love fully realized. May we not grow weary as we pursue a better world for all. A world where no life is deemed more worthy than another. A world where all people are treated with love and respect. We pray for those who are dispossessed, for those who are aliens, refugees in our land, and for those who are poor and neglected in every land. We pray for those who have been marginalized in any way, and for those who are drowning in a sea of injustice. And in this same breath, we remember that prayers are incomplete and ineffectual until we put our actions behind them. May we persist and seeking out and creating a kinder, more caring world. May we persist in speaking out as the powerful abuse others. May we persist in sharing loving kindness with all of those we meet. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.